Welcome to our last session. This is our last session of the women's retreat, okay? And you guys get to meet my Jesus, okay? Let me tell you, Jesus is awesome, and he's not just awesome for girls. He is awesome for every one of you guys. And you don't have to be proud. You don't have to be afraid. He is funny. He makes me laugh every day, and I know he laughs at me because he made me. But we have I tell my friend Casey at work, because our work is crazy right now. I mean, the politics, it's just, I work for the Navy. It's just, there's a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, she and my other colleague, who I'm praying knows the Lord soon, you know, sometimes they look at me and they're like, how can you be so calm? And I said, you know what? I sit in my office every day and I tell Jesus, just like I'm talking to you, I tell Jesus. And he can be that to us. And when he is that to us, and when we are safe enough in him, and we trust him enough to have that, and it is the best thing in the world. And I didn't get it till I was 30, and I hope you kids get it much earlier than that. I didn't get it, but it is the best decision. It is the greatest thing that I ever did, was to lay down my pride and not be scared and trust him. And he's making me talk. And I was told I talk too much. But Jesus said, you don't talk too much. I want you to talk what I want you to talk. So I'm talking. All right. So destiny. God gave us the scripture. He gave us people in the scripture so we can see that God has a plan and a destiny for everyone. He knit every one of us together. He knew who we were before we were born, before we took one breath. He looked and he said, you are wonderful. And I made you. And the world likes to beat that down, because Satan, if he can keep you doubting that you are wonderfully made and that you have a purpose in this world, or that your mistakes keep you from being effective for him, oh, he's won. You may have your salvation, but he's won, because you have no impact. And we have impact. We don't have to get up on a stage. We don't have to be Billy Graham. We can talk to someone next to us, and we can wait, because they're going to ask you. If you're living for Jesus, whether you say a word or not, they are going to ask you, what's different about you? How come you can be calm when everything's falling apart? How come you aren't freaking out because this is happening? And that's when you can say, I know somebody, and he's great, and he's the lover of my soul, and I know that I'm safe with him. So I'm going to talk to you about, I'm going to have a woman example and a man example, all right? Now, these are people, you know, Jesus was Jewish, and Jewish, you know, the religion order, there were rules. You couldn't talk to this person. If this person dressed this way, you shouldn't be in their area. I mean, there were rules, and Jesus was Jewish. I mean, he grew up with that. And Jesus blew those rules apart, not in a rebellious fashion, but to show you who God is, because God is the lover of our souls. He told us that, and he has not changed. And the funny thing is, every time I read the story or the Bible, there's always something new. So, the Samaritan woman, okay, she'd been divorced 7 times. She was Samaritan, which, you know, ethnically, Jews couldn't talk to Samaritans. They had nothing to do with them. You know, there was the ethnic divide. She'd been divorced 7 times. You know, that's bad, or 6 times, or however many times, a lot of times. And in the Bible, if you read the words, and it is in John 4, I believe, so you can read it for yourself, but it said Jesus had to go to Samaria. Didn't see Jesus might have wanted to walk by in Samaria. And let me tell you, his buddies with him, they didn't want to go to Samaria. Well, they're like, oh, no, we can go around this way. It's much better if we just go around it. They didn't want to go to Samaria. But Jesus went to Samaria because he knew that woman was going to be at the well, and he needed to talk to her. And he broke every rule. He was a man, and he talked to a woman. He was a man, a Jewish man, and he talked to a Samaritan woman. He was a righteous man, and he talked to a woman living in sin. She was living with a man she wasn't married to. He did, and right out in public, anybody could have walked by and seen Rabbi talking to who? This woman? Okay? And he offered her living water, just like we talked about. It's free, people. It is free. This water is free. It does not require anything from you except your willingness to be there and to be with him. He gave her free living water. And you know what? He's the first person that he openly admitted he was the Messiah. He told her, I am the Messiah. He didn't tell his disciples yet, although hopefully they were figuring it out, although it took them a while, you know. I would have hoped I was not that blind, but I might have been. It's like I said, I was 30. But he told her, I'm the Messiah. What a privilege. And you know what that woman did? She was the first evangelist. She ran and got all her buddies and said, look, there's the Messiah. So her past didn't hold her back. Her ethnicity did not hold her back. Her, where she lived, did not hold her back. When Jesus came in, touched that spot, it was freed up, and she made a difference. And she didn't go to Jerusalem to make the difference. She made the difference at home, right there. Second example, and this is for you guys. And you can thank Jesus because he gave me this morning. I was struggling. Peter, Simon Peter. Jesus' disciple. You know, in the Jewish culture, prestigious jobs now in our culture, you know, I don't know, I'm just going to throw some out, doctor, lawyer, whatever, nurse, you know, I mean, things like that. The prestigious job in the Jewish culture was to be a rabbi, to be a biblical teacher. That was like being in the MBA, okay? If you were a rabbi that had disciples, you were like, you know, LeBron James, people knew who you were. And that, you know, for a Jewish family, that was an aspiring thing to be, okay? And the rabbis always, the disciples always asked the rabbi, can I be your disciple? So, you know, that would be me going, hey, Dan, can I be your musical disciple? You know, Dan didn't ask me, but I asked Dan, okay? That's the way it was. But you know what? Jesus turned that upside down, because did any of his disciples come and ask him to be a disciple? No. And did he choose, well, he eventually chose Saul, who was Paul, eventually. But did he choose Saul right away? Let me go over here and grab this Pharisee, because he knows a lot of stuff. Let me take that guy. Because, of course, as rabbi, I should have that guy. Absolutely not. You know what he chose first? Fishermen. Fishermen, and I'm sure they smelled like fish, okay? And I have a super sniffer, so that would not be my first choice. A man who smells like fish to follow me around, okay? No, not the thing. But Jesus chose Peter and his brother. He chose them. And the way he chose them, if you read it in Scripture in Luke, is he was teaching on the banks. So they were hearing all this, and then he asked to use their boat. They didn't know this guy, but they let him use the boat. And after that, Jesus said, go out, throw your nets on the other side. And this, you know, this is impossible. There's no reason he should get fish yet. I mean, this is not the time. You do it at night or early morning. Throw your nets on the other side. And there was so much fish, they had to get another boat to get all that fish in there. And do you think that Peter might have needed those fish? He might have had some bills to pay. Jesus met him where he was. He didn't make him jump through hoops to be someone great. He met him where he was. He filled his need. And then he said, come, be a fisherman of men. And he dropped his stuff and he followed him because he was worth it. And he followed him. And if you follow Peter's story, and I love Peter because I think I would be just like him. Very excitable. Oh, yeah, let me chop this guy's ear off because he's taken the Lord. Or, you know, I can do this, God. Let me come out here and, you know, I'll make a radical change. This is, you know, but God had to temper that. God had to slow that down. And when you read in the scripture, Peter, who went on the mountain with God, saw him in his glory, denied him 3 times at the cross. And in Luke, it says Jesus looked at him. And Jesus warned him. Jesus told him, you're going to do this. Oh, not me, God. I'm not going to do that. I won't do that. I know who you are. I won't do that. But he did. And you know, God didn't put that in the Bible to shame Peter. He put that in the Bible to show us there is nothing we have done that he cannot cover, he cannot restore, and he cannot take care of. And Peter's testimony, because that is a testimony, shows us that that's true. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, on you I will build my church. Pentecost, Holy Spirit, Peter preached. All he did was preach. 3,000 people. Holy Spirit hit him. 3,000 people knew who God was. Radical change from the man who cowered, who was so tough, but cowered. God did that. And you know what? And Peter, he said, silver and gold have I none, but I am going to give you what I have. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And he could have sat in his shame. He could have held on to that, and I'll never do anything. I'm not good enough. Did you mess up? Yeah, you did. But he laid down his pride, and he came to the Lord, and he still stuck with him. And he still held on to him, and he let that go. And what a difference. The rock. Simon became Peter, who became the rock. And that's tough stuff. And he gave it to others. So your destiny in Jesus. And it's, and it, you know, sometimes you think, oh, the stress, oh, the pressure of giving to others. Am I giving enough? Don't let that's just the enemy trying to discourage you. Don't let that discourage you. Just give what you can. If it's a smile to someone who looks sad, you know, that's maybe all that they need to turn it around for them that day. We don't have to, you know, again, be Billy Graham. God bless Billy Graham. Awesome man. He let Jesus do what Jesus asked him to do. A North Carolina farmer. And again, it may never look like that for us. But it's, when we hear that voice, we need to act on it. And that's the destiny. He calls us for a reason, and he chooses us even when we don't choose him. Because there's days I don't choose him, you know? And that's the truth. But he still chooses me. And every day that I see that he makes a difference, I'm thankful. Because to him be the glory, because this was a wicked broken vessel. And he can gorilla glue you back and make it for him. And he sees those cracks. And he loves it anyway. And every one of those cracks, you never know when your testimony, that crack, is going to minister to someone else.
because they're going to see that crack that they have too, and your crack is covered. And that crack will minister to someone else. So, anyway, if you want to put that verse, hopefully it matches in. So the Lord gave me this verse. But you, O Lord, are the shield around me. You are my glory, the one who holds my head high. So whatever the Lord's working on you, give it to him. Let him do it. It's worth it, people. I'm telling you, it's really worth it. And then lift your head high.